Luke's gospel describes a man who is possessed by demons. He is destitute. He has no clothes. He's living amongst the tombs. When the townspeople try to bind him in shackles and fetters, he only breaks the chains into pieces. And then he's driven by the demons into the desert. Such was the strength of his demonic power that in Mark's gospel it says, quote, "No one had the strength to subdue him." We're not talking about just one demon here, but many demons had made their home in his flesh, hence the name Legion. A man is in bondage. A man is in captivity to demonic powers of evil that he can't get rid of. The magnitude of Satan's power, friends, is greater than the strength of any mortal man. Just ask this man, whose name was Legion. In the text, it says he had been like this a long time. Whatever he tried, whatever the townspeople tried to heal him with, had failed. It failed. And so here he is before Jesus, naked, living amongst the tombs, physically alive, yes, but spiritually dead in the clutches of Satan. Now, to our contemporary minds, the notion of demonic possession seems a little hard to believe. Almost seems like it's something that only happened then but doesn't happen today. The movie The Exorcist is just that. A movie, right? No need to fear naked people living in graveyards and breaking chains around here. And it's true, most if not all of us have never seen a demonic possession, especially one that happens to the extent of which we see in Luke chapter 8. However, friends, that does not mean the devil and his henchmen are not around causing trouble for the world, causing trouble even for God's own church. They are. Peter warns us. He says the devil is a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And furthermore, Scripture never says the demons will cease their war against mankind. They won't. Now, it's true, they don't have to manifest themselves in the way we see with this man named Legion, nor do they have to. They don't have to be effective. And so, Christian, let's be watchful. Let's be vigilant. Let's keep an eye on ourselves, and let's rest by God's grace through faith in his power, refuge, and his protection, his mercy, and his healing we have in his only begotten Son. Getting back to Legion. Again, we see a man who's being held captive, right? By demonic powers that only Christ could overcome. Now, when we look at his possession, the symptoms of his possession, they're almost too much for us to comprehend. I mean, how many of us have seen someone break chains? How many of us have seen a naked person living in a graveyard being governed by demons? This type of captivity does not happen very often. But in one sense, we can say the man called Legion was at an advantage. That's right, I said the word advantage. Because at least the people knew he was possessed. They tried to keep him under guard with chains and shackles. And it could be that even the man himself knew he had a problem. After all, the text does say he meets Jesus, not the other way around. And so when we zoom out of the picture, we can see that everybody was aware this man was sick. He was possessed beyond help, living amongst the dead, destined to die in the tombs. This is not the only type of captivity there is. Just because someone is not breaking chains on the outskirts of civilization does not mean, friends, they are free from the clutches of Satan. You see, the kingdom of Satan does not always manifest itself to the naked eye. He can be just as effective in the darkness. We would do well to heed our Lord's warning when he says, "The wolf does not come prancing about, making a big show of himself, trying to get people's attention before attacking the sheep. That's not how it works. But the wolf comes in sheep's clothing. The adversary, the enemy of God, the accuser, comes in sheep's clothing. Covered, hidden, he looks all cute and cuddly, and that way he can sneak into the fold and begin feasting on the sheep without drawing attention to himself. The thing about Legion was that everybody knew what he was up against. There was no hiding the symptoms of his possession. He's breaking chains, living naked amongst the tombs. People knew he had a problem. But Christian, there is another type of captivity I want to draw your attention to. A silent captivity that all men are subject to, whether we acknowledge it or not. There's another type of captivity that all people are enslaved to, and it's the type of captivity that Paul talks about when he's writing to the Galatians. Hear this word from Galatians. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. Captive under the law. Now, one may ask, Pastor, how does God's good, wise, and righteous law keep us captive? The answer is simply this. The law imprisons you under sin precisely because it is mighty, wise, righteous, and just. The word of God commanding us what to do all day, every day, reveals just how far we stumble and fall at keeping that word of God. It keeps us in our sin by constantly showing us our sin. To get some sort of idea of how this works, imagine this. Imagination time. Pretend you're going before an omniscient judge, an all-knowing judge who demands from you a perfect driving record. Now, all the adults in here can kind of slump. He demands a perfect driving record, and he knows when you've gone just 1 mile over the limit. But he demands perfection before he will declare you innocent. If not, you are guilty, and the only penalty for guilt is death. And if you're not driving, imagine an omniscient, all-knowing judge who knows every time you have disobeyed your parents. Every time. And yet he demands perfect obedience before he will let you in. Otherwise, you are guilty and therefore deserving of death. In both cases, the commands and requirements spell doom for the guilty party. But friends, that is how it is when we stand before God's law, before his gavel, his commands and his requirements. We are only accused, convicted. Our sins are revealed. We are exposed for what we are, guilty sinners. Guilty sinners in captivity to sin. And this type of captivity, the captivity of the law, friends, in some sense is more dangerous than the manifestation of demonic possession, because God's law, his condemning law that continues to show us our sins, cannot be seen with the naked eye. Granted, I know, we can feel its weight. We go through stretches of time and we can feel the burden of our sin, but certainly not always, and yet it's still there. You may feel from time to time that you haven't really done anything wrong. You may feel as if you've kept the Ten Commandments pretty good. But our feelings deceive us, because God's holy word says otherwise. Self-righteous people struggle with this. All of us who struggle with self-righteousness, all of us who feel as if we have something to give, surely we're better than that sinner over there. Surely we've kept the law better than that person over there. All the self-righteous people who feel they have some claim on salvation because, after all, they've done a better job at keeping the law than he has or she has. That's a deception, friends. It's a deception. Whenever the devil tricks you into thinking that God will look down upon you more favorably than that person over there because you've done a better job at keeping the law, as if God is going to grade on some sort of arbitrary curve. And so again I say, the law of God is very much like a silent killer, because it is always there, always accusing, always working, whether we acknowledge it or not. The captivity to sin is always there, whether we acknowledge it or not. Tell yourself that you are righteous and have no need for a Savior. God's law is there, doing its work, convicting and accusing before His throne. Tell yourself there are many ways to heaven, and it doesn't really matter if you're a Christian, a Hindu, or a Buddhist, or a Muslim. It's okay. There are many gods who will let you in. There are many beings who will let you into the heavenly courts. God's word is still there. His law is still there, showing you your sins, showing your captivity to your sins. And so what is the answer? As in the case of the man named Legion, the answer, friends, is not found in the flesh. Paul does give us an answer when he says this, again, from the epistle reading. This is what Paul says. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. Hear again those last words, because they're very important to us. Justified by faith. The law of God is good, wise, righteous. It sets forth the boundaries that we are not to go past, and it holds us captive in sin precisely because we trespass those boundaries that God has given. And so without faith, without being justified by faith, this is where we are at, captive and imprisoned to sin. Even Christians wrestle with this. Even those of us baptized in the mighty name of Jesus Christ still are under the law. The Ten Commandments have not been nullified. They have not gone away. But let me say this to you. Amidst all this talk about the law accusing, convicting, all the talk about this law showing you your corrupted nature that all of us inherit from our first parents, know that the law of God by His grace is not all we have. Against self-righteousness, against all the religions promoting some sort of works righteousness, Paul, the expert in the law, the at one time zealous Pharisee, says this: in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Let me read that again. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. Friends, hear his language. Put on Christ. Ever heard the phrase, the garment of righteousness? Here in holy baptism, the promise is, you have that garment because you have put on Christ. And by wearing Christ, that means you wear all of Him, not just parts of Him. That means you wear His innocence, His holiness, and His righteousness. These are the promises you have in Christ. Your Savior, to whom you are united to in the waters of holy baptism, all of which you possess, not by your works, but by faith. Justified by faith, the Scriptures say. And faith, friends, is very different from reason. Our reason tells us we're really not all that bad when faith hears the word of God and we hear all men are enslaved to sin, freed only by Jesus Christ. Faith, friends, hears the word of God, and we are compelled to confess with the psalmist who says, "Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults." By faith, we confess to God even those sins that we are unaware of, we know they are there. And by faith, friends, we live not condemned, not enslaved, but forgiven, free, holy for the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ, into whom we have been baptized, into whom we receive His holy, righteous garment. All who have been baptized have put on Christ. Hold on to that thought, especially as we move into this last section of the sermon. What about those afflictions and torment that we experience daily? What about the captivity of vice and addiction that people do see? We see that type of captivity. And yet, those who suffer with addictions and vice know just how difficult it is to be rid of them. Sexual morality, drunkenness, greed, substance abuse, the list is always expanding. These addictions and others like them grab hold of too many people. And ask anybody who has wrestled with an addiction, and you will find it is extremely close to this man named Legion. It's like wrestling with a force and a power that is beyond your ability to overcome. The temptations just keep coming back. The addictions never subside, and the sin is always there. And maybe some of you, you know firsthand what it's like to be in the shoes of the man named Legion. You know what it's like to battle an addiction. It seems as if your head is in a vice that you just can't get free from. Such temptations, such addictions are strong, and they are powerful. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let me say a few things. First, let me say God knows what you are going through. He knows your temptations, He knows your weaknesses, and He knows your sin. And let me also underscore what happens in the gospel reading. Jesus does not tell Legion, pull up your bootstraps, you can do it. Try a little harder. That's not what our Lord does. But by the power of God alone, the man named Legion was freed from his captivity. By God's grace, his authority and power, the demons are driven far from this man. He is forgiven, he is healed, and his life is restored physically and spiritually. At the end of the text, he is clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, desiring to be by his Savior, Jesus. In this life, you will be tempted. That's why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but friends, when we stumble and we fall, which does happen every day, remember the God that you serve. Remember the great Savior we have in Jesus Christ, a Savior to whom you have been baptized into. You have put on Christ. That promise, Christian, of wearing Christ doesn't go away in times of suffering, in times of torment and despair. Your Savior is still with you. Your Savior is still for you. Your Savior who has redeemed you, the Savior in whom you have forgiveness, a Savior who promises you life everlasting. And we hear that phrase a lot, eternal life, but think about what that means. In eternal life, that is when you will be free from the pain of torment, the pain of affliction. In eternal life, that is when you will be free from experiencing the pain of guilt, the pain of death, the pain of sin. Legion receives all of this. Christ. You have it all in Christ. His forgiveness, his healing, his protection, and life everlasting to look forward to. Your struggle with sin is but for a little while. In the meantime, remember, brothers and sisters in Christ, the grace, mercy, and the peace with God you have right now by living as one baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And because of that promise, you have to look forward to the resurrection of the body. That day when the perishable will indeed put on the imperishable, and then your struggle with captivity, your struggle with sin will truly be no more. Amen. And may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.